A name is a powerful, powerful thing. It identifies, describes, and presents us to the world. When we meet someone, besides saying hello, we say, "My name is Beth. What's your name?" It's the first thing that we often speak to another. One's name may be the most intimate feature of our identity. And of all the identifiers, our names come the closest to naming who we really are. And to a large extent, we are, and we become, and we live into our names. I'm sure all of you have some kind of story, or if you don't, you might want to try and find it out about how you were named. I think I might have told you this before, but my parents couldn't agree on my name. One wanted to call me Beth, the other wanted to call me Elizabeth, because Beth wasn't a real name. And so I don't know how they decided, but eventually they decided to call me Elizabeth Joan Bretzlaff. And then whichever parent it was that thought that Elizabeth was the right name held me and said her name is longer than her body. My name, Elizabeth, was only used by my school teachers and when my parents really needed to get my attention. Those may be the same thing, I'm not sure. And then whenever we grow up, our names sometimes change. For instance, my mother hated the nickname Liz, and Lizzie even worse. And so I never told her that for a period in high school, some of the people I didn't like called me those names. But I was Beth most of the time. But as life goes on, our names change, don't they? Often we see them differently. Sometimes we change them ourselves. Our relationship status changes and we make a decision about that, or we decide to use our middle name instead of our first name. But at some point in our life, we truly begin to own who we are in our names. And sometimes things get added to our names. You know, now my name, I think my parents are probably laughing. Because by the time you get through the Reverend Canon Elizabeth Joan Bretzlaff, it's still longer than I am. But the thing is that even that, changing because you get a title or a degree or whatever it is, you have to live into that. It takes some time to figure out what that means and how you will appropriate that in your life. Now, the significance of names was far from lost on the communities, the storytellers, and the writers of the Bible. From the very, very beginning, names have meaning. In the first creation narrative, God names each thing as it's made, and it's not complete until it is named. In the second creation narrative, the name God gives to the earth creature, Adam, signifies humanity coming from the earth, Adama. Over and over in Scripture, God is said to know the names of God's people. And God often changes people's names, signifying a radical change or emphasis on their identity. So Jacob becomes Israel, Saul becomes Paul, and today Abram and Sarai become Abraham and Sarah. These are the names by which these two people, the mother and father of nations and kings, will be known for all time. These names redefine their identities, give them a calling, and reorient their lives. These names stick, and they won't be lost. It is their names that identify Abraham and Sarah as righteous before God, their true identities that God has given them. As God did for Abraham and Sarah, God names each one of us for who we truly are. And for those who frequent this place, we have a name in common. St. John, the Evangelist Anglican Church. It's almost longer than we are. Often, we shorten it to St. John's. But when we think of our identity as a parish, it is important to remember the whole name. Saint. A saint is someone who is recognized as having an exceptional degree of holiness or likeness or closeness to God. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Evangelist, bore witness and wrote the gospel's message for the world that we still read to this day. Anglican, the middle way, informed by scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. And church, a building, but much more importantly, a people, a community of faith, the body of Christ. St. John, the Evangelist, Anglican Church, that's a big name for us to live into. The name under which we are called together in community to live out our covenant with God. A covenant that reaches back in time to today's reading from Genesis. This covenant offers the people of Israel the gift of hope, their source of identity, and their place in creation. At the heart of the story is a promise made by God to Abraham, the promise of an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. A reflection of God's relationship with all of Israel, and through Israel to the church, and through the church to each one of us in our own lives. Covenant is linked to creation, and it's a promise that Abraham and all those who follow it, we will not be alone. And the great news for us is that God's covenant is not dependent on our faithfulness. No matter what we do, God will love us. God will uphold us. God will be the source of hope, the gift of identity, and our place in creation. The covenant will never be broken. Not by God. And it is up to us how we live it out. The gift of this passage in Genesis is it's a reminder that at the center of our being rest blessing and promise, naming and covenant. Even in the darkness of Lent and on horrible days like this one, when it's dark and hard to get anywhere, and under the shadow of the cross that we approach, the promise that God made Abraham remains. God is our God and we are God's people. How we choose to live out being God's people is totally up to us. Today, our annual vestry, our annual meeting, marks yet another year in the life of this parish and begins a new year. One in which we have responsibility of choosing how we will live out our part of the covenant. How will we proclaim our identity as St. John the Evangelist Anglican Church? How will we be God's people, drawing on the past, dealing with our current reality, and preparing for the needs of the future? There is no question that this is challenging as we deal with lots of change and uncertainty. But the heart of this place, of this community, is strong and vital, with energy and faithfulness deeply rooted at our very core. I hope that you are as deeply grateful for this community and its ministry and mission and passion for God's love and justice in this world as I am. Every day I am amazed by the signs of God's grace working in and through this parish. It is truly awesome. And I am very fortunate because I get to see that every single day. There are always more things that we could be doing. We all know that in our own lives and in the life of the parish. And there are always better things that we could be doing. But we have to focus our energy. We can't be everything to everyone, and we can't do every single thing that we would like to. But there are a few key things that I think the next year will be things that we will hopefully focus some of our energy on. We need to build our pastoral core. We have had an amazing year in gaining a clergy team that is, I must say, awesome. Having three colleagues, ordained colleagues in ministry in this place is a gift and a blessing. You've probably noticed we're all very different from one another, and how wonderful the different voices and the different gifts and skills that the clergy bring. And the amount of pastoral care that the four of us do is remarkable. And you don't see most of it. Of course you don't, because that's the nature of pastoral care. And yet, we need lay people to accompany us in that. And all of you do that, I know, every day, quietly, going about it in your own way. But we're working at reconfiguring how do we do that more effectively in this time as a team, with our energy and the change in needs. I've been ordained 25 years in May, and the nature of pastoral care has changed radically. Not the sense of being cared for, but how we do it and what people are expecting and what we can offer. And so to look at all of that and to build something that surrounds our core in that way is an exciting and great venture. And now that we've kind of got the core team together, I hope that we'll be able to focus more on that. We need to welcome and integrate our newcomers. How many of you, this is a little quiz, have joined or attended the parish in the last 5 years? Put your hands up. Everyone, look around. That's a lot of people. And I am delighted that you are with us, and I'm sure the rest of us are too. This past week, Laura gave me a list of the last 8 months, the people who had signed up. I don't mean just attended worship, but had actually decided to contribute money and be on the parish list and be here with us on a regular basis. There were 20 family units on that list, and of 20, 15 of them live in this neighborhood. There was a day when St. John's was really known as a destination parish, and many of you have attended since that time. You come from other places in the city to come here because of its mission and what we do in this neighborhood, which is wonderful, and we are so glad. I'm so glad that you have been and are still a strong part of this community. But it's quite different. It's a different change, isn't it, in our nature to have so many people from our very neighborhood. It changes who we are, and it's great, and it's challenging. And I would hope that this year we'll be able to learn more from all of these wonderful people who've put their hands up today, and to draw from them their gifts and appreciate their contributions and integrate ourselves together, to create more time to get to know one another. When we come on Sunday, or we come to a meeting, or we do this, or we do that, we're always doing something. But the joy of things like pub night, and when we have a dinner, and gathering together for potlucks around perhaps Gordon's hymn sings, those events actually build our community. They strengthen us, help us to get to know one another, and create relationship. And I hope that we will do more of that this year. And then, of course, how could I forget what's behind me? This isn't going away. I mean, it will go away. Sorry, Brian, didn't mean to say it that way. It will go away. But we need to further our physical renovations of this place because it is our physical home. And we need to take care of it and take care of it well. We need to enhance our sacred space's safety, functionality, and beauty, so that we can not only contribute to, but enhance our ministry in this community. It is astonishing when people come into this place, and despite all of the scaffolding and despite the fence, people say, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. One of our newest parishioners, I said, when I saw you, when did you come before? Oh, I was here Christmas Eve. I said, oh, nice to have you back. He said, yeah, I was sitting with my face against the fence. But he's become a member of the parish. That is the strength of this place and its physical beauty as well. On Ashes to Go, some of my colleagues do Ashes to Go out on the street or in the Loblaws or in the parking lot near their churches. And the clergy wear their vestments and go out and give out ashes on the street corner. We do it differently at St. John's because in this neighborhood, I think it depends on your context, in this neighborhood, people want to come in to the church. It's busy out there. It's noisy. It's urban. And people want to pause and be held in the sacred space. And the conversations and the pastoral moments that happen when they come into the church and the clergy are just wearing their regular clothes with a collar, perhaps, that's so approachable in this neighborhood really works. People love to do that. And it's wonderful to be able to do that. So we need to make sure this place is physically as welcoming and as beautiful as it possibly can be. So caring for one another, building our sense of community, and enhancing our space for ministry is about us fulfilling our covenant with God and making sure that the good news is present here and now and for generations to come. May we live into our name more and more each day, encouraged by God's covenant, inspired by the life of Jesus, sustained by the Spirit's power, so that every generation that follows us will be blessed, and that the name of St. John the Evangelist and its ministry of God's mission in this place will touch the community and the world beyond us. Amen.